the Random Hour. Today, I'm also not only joined by Devin from More Sports, but also Mazin Edits. He's an artist and a TikToker. River?
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about some of his artwork. He's a content creator we're really looking forward to get to know.
All right. Most definitely. And again, I appreciate you guys having me join you guys.
Has your artwork commissions or TikTok sounds got you interested in any other series?
As far as the series that I've worked on, or as far as series that I'm seeing as popping up as recently.
Have you had any series that you haven't been into that? Because people request for commissions, or you'll see on TikTok that has gotten you into that series.
So, I think recommended before was Hazbin Hotel. I did research into as far as their voice acting cast and everything like that. I'm like, this is really solid. I might give that one a shot. I know.
How have you combated burnout?
So with burnout, luckily for me, I live in a household with a bunch of artists. Again, Megaton Slater, Tina Marie. I could always, usually I used to do is the whole watching the shows and see if inspiration will come up. But after so many episodes, it's kind of you're still at that stagnant. So I'll go up to them. I'm like, hey, give me two shows so I can combine them and make something new. My friend Carmen, she was like, okay. Which is another fantastic artist, by the way. She was like, okay, Spy Family. Spy Family had just dropped the new thing. At the same time, she was like, I can't think of a second one. So I was like, all right, let's max that up to Yu-Gi-Oh! That's where my Winged Dragon of Ra and Anya print came out. Then Mob Psycho was popping off around that time, too. So my brother was like, all right, Mob Psycho. And I was like, okay. And then I asked my other friend, Bree. She was like, in Dragon Ball Z. And I was like, you know what? Cool. I'll combine both of them. So that's where my Mob and the Ginyu Force match up with the fitness club came to be. And so, yeah, that's kind of like, these guys are such a great energy to get stuff and ideas. It's the best. It's the best, and it really helps out with burnouts. After so many drawings, you're kind of like, I don't want to keep drawing the same show over and over again, because next thing you know, I'll become that artist that just does that kind of art.
Yeah.
But that's the best way to handle those.
I know we do a lot of movies for Popcorn Bucket. We would get burned out fairly quickly, and then we get at each other's neck a good bit. And then I think the best way we combated that was watching some of the worst movies we have ever seen and just absolutely roasting it. Because, we're doing a lot better in our recording now. But we're watching some, camera movies and stuff so, Velocipastor and stuff like that. Okay. And it's just some out of pocket, the worst movies we've watched. And we're just having fun, absolute fun, just roasting them.
Okay, okay. Is there one movie that was so bad it's good?
Possibly Velocipastor, but the camera movies are classics because they're from the 50s, and they're monster movie, cheesy, and it's very self-aware because it's branding stuff for kids to the point where it's like, we're going to have this turtle get absolutely pwned or bust in like Kool-Aid Man. Or have this chameleon shoot rainbows.
And wait, the only that's way all in that movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Gamera versus Baragon is basically a giant chameleon. Mm-hmm. That its weakness, it shoots rainbows. And its weaknesses are mirrors. And it has ice breath, which apparently Gamera is weak to ice. How it came about in the first place. And so the way he defeats Baragon is by just straight up drowning him. And it's so brutal. And it's for kids. And I'm like, okay. And then the next one is like, Gamera is a friend to all people. And he's getting like shanked by a giant squid. And we're like, what the heck is going on? And then I'm a couple moves ahead in Gamera's and Devin. And this one, he's basically fighting a knife. And I'm like, this makes no sense. And it just has me rolling.
Are we allowed to walk and look around?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Devin, what would you say?
I'd say the one movie that I'm actually trying to look at. We have a master list, which I'm kind of glad Kyle, because my dumb self told him a couple weeks ago. I was like, dude, why do you have all these movies that we've recorded like a year ago still on here? I'm trying to look at our list right now. One movie that's so bad that it was good. I'm a Cheerleader was one that it's kind of bad. I'd say that one kind of to an extent, but it was like hilarious with
Is
Paul
what's it called?
Rudd.
I'm a what?
I'm a
But I'm a
Cheerleader.
cheerleader.
I'm a
It's kind
cheerleader.
of like Legally Blonde, but in
Okay.
the guise of it's a conversion camp where they're like, she's going to a conversion camp because she's gay, but she doesn't know it yet. And
Right.
so it's like a whole spoof comedy, and it's from, I think, 1999. And it does a really good job at combating homophobia and poking fun at campiness of it. And Dante Basco is actually in it, Kevin's BFF.
My BFF.
Yeah. And it's really well done. It's a comedy, and it does a really good job at poking fun at itself. I would also say, like, we're doing better about, so we'll push ourselves because we'll get to the point where we will go a while without making episodes for Popcorn Buckets, and then we'll push ourselves for like a full year, and then we'll just get to the point where we're like, okay, we can put on cruise control and just have fun with it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
Okay,
working on other
okay.
shows. That's why our schedules for the other shows are kind of lenient. It's like with my sports podcast, I try to do one new episode every month, and then the random hour for Kyle's show is the first Sunday of every month. So that because if we did all three shows like every week, dude, we'd be so burnt out. So
I
burnt
will
out.
say,
No, I guarantee you.
Random hour is much more loose, and we've got an idea. And we're just gonna run one direction with it and see what happens. And so we'll just do some like the most out of pocket stuff, or we'll just do like, you want to take a character quiz to see what type of frog you are? We've done stuff like that, and it's just
Okay.
trying to have fun with it.
That's dope, though.
Devin, do you have the list pulled up so you can ask him the next one?
I can. I feel like we kind of already number. Yeah, this next one is what's your favorite anime? I feel like you said it, but favorite anime of all
Ooh.
time.
So number one favorite anime of all time, man, because man, I think it really varies my mood. But Samurai Champloo is probably an anime I will watch over and over and over again and not be bored of it. Like if there was ever any time where I'm like I really want to watch something, that would be the show that I put on. I just love it. Everything about it, from the style, how it's drawn, the story. I love Mugen and Jin. Those two are such a great counterbalance to each other. And the soundtrack itself from New Jobbies, God rest his soul, he passed away sadly. But the soundtrack itself, fantastic. Fantastic. I listen to that every time I want to go ahead and chill out and draw something, and it's just me time. Just New Jobbies will be playing in the background because I love that show so much.
Okay. All
Alright.
Go ahead, Tom.
What are some an what?
Go ahead. I was gonna say something, but go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I was just gonna ask the next question. If you want to keep talking about that, you can.
Okay. I think to me, this is a little sidetrack. You say that anime has the best music. To me, in my opinion, one of the animes that have the best music is Cowboy Bebop. What do you think about the music for Cowboy Bebop?
Oh, I love Cowboy Bebop. And you know, the thing is, so when Ujabi's in Cowboy Bebop, the shows that he made, because even Space Dandy is made by the same person.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So it's disco, jazz, and hip hop. So it's the choices that he made when it came to the music is fantastic. I love Cowboy Bebop stuff. The jazz, the heavy jazz play, love jazz personally. That's one of my favorite types of music. I love Cowboy Bebop's music. It's so good. Even the opener itself, it's so iconic that you cannot escape from it. If you hear it, you know where it's from.
All right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
come on.
yeah.
Like you already
Cowboy,
know where it's going from
yeah.
there.
Cowboy Bebop is one of my like top three. I'm trying to remember the other. I know, One Piece is like the East Blue arc or romance. That one is "Come Along and Sail with Me," "All Your Hopes and Dreams."
Dude, we sing that all the
Yeah.
time. Like.
We'll be waiting for like something alone. We'll go on the call and we'll just end up starting to sing that.
Right.
Fighting Dreamers from Naruto.
That's iconic. Yep.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure has some good ones.
Bro, does it? Does it? What roundabout?
Yeah.
Shit, even the outro for five. Even when I close my eyes, like, come on now.
Oh, it slaps.
No, I haven't really got into, believe it or not, Kyle got me on JoJo, but I'm only on like an episode 15, so like I am bad about finishing an anime.
Are you on season one? Because I can understand if season one feels like really slow, but
I am.
two, three, and everything like that picks up from there. I promise you, man.
Yeah, I'm
I
on
am
season
on
one.
season
Season 3.
Okay.
And I just started it, but the problem is I started the series in 2012, 2014, somewhere around that time, and I'm
Ooh.
very distractible.
I
And I
got you.
picked it up and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot this exists. And I'll pick it up. I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And then I'll go a while. I did this with One Piece too. I got to Marine Forge and forgot it existed. And then I picked it back up, I think 2017. Watched a bunch and then I forgot it existed. Now I'm back in it and I'm like, I forgot that this was in my top five. I love this. Naruto has some good ones too, now that I think about it. The
Like
only one that
soundtrack-wise or
Bird?
just a show?
Hmm?
I'm sorry, Dev,
Both
what
of
were you
you
saying?
talked at the same time.
Sorry, go for it then.
Naruto's got a good couple ones, but right now all that's coming in my head is Fighting Dreamers. That's because I said it a minute ago.
Okay.
That's like he hasn't started Shippuden yet. Mine's Bluebird and Shippuden, and that's on my
I've
to-do
started Shippuden. I've finished Shippuden. I'm rereading the manga after watching it, Devin.
So I'm a big fan of season one Naruto. Shippuden was good. I refuse to read Boruto. I refuse.
I was excited because I was really interested in Mist Village, so I thought it was really cool, and Shippuden and all that. I'm forgetting his name, but I one of the first big baddies they fought. I was
Zabuza.
like, yes, and I was like, this is awesome. And then, so I was that's what really got me hooked in the series, is Zabuza, and that kind of made me fall in love with the Hidden Mist Village. And my friend Celia loves the sound village because she's a musician, and so she was like, I really like this village, and that was the thing, been the tuning thing that got her hooked into it.
You know how the Hidden Mist Village graduates though? Like you're aware of how they graduate?
It's the fighting,
Yeah, only
the
one
death,
person
right?
graduates, which is
Yeah.
nuts. Everyone has to kill each other. That's crazy. I'm like, man,
Oh yeah.
I'm transferring, bro. I can't.
I'm transferred.
I'm transferring, bro. We going to another village, ma. I can't do this.
Oh
And
man.
then you want to go back to your wedding, Devin. Me and Griff were joking like, we just want to appear out of nowhere. Ninja,
Nah, dude. Y'all be wanting to do 1,000 years of death. I was clenching my freaking But because knowing both of you, because Griff, anytime Griff hangs out, he's like, Devo, 1,000 years of Daphne boy. I'm like, bro, get away from me. Get away from me.
Y'all ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some anime convention advice you give as a vendor you know now that you wish you knew when you started?
Do not be discouraged. Honestly, you can never expect what kind of fan base will come by. Also, do not get weirded out too fast. You have to be aware that there are different types of people out there. They have different types of interests. For discouragement, if someone doesn't walk to your table, I mean, there might be a reason for it, and whether it be what kind of art you have or even your character. Me, I'm a very social person when I come to selling my stuff. So if there's a customer walking by, I'm going, "Hey, how are you? How's your day going? You enjoying the convention?" Strike a conversation. Within that time, the person is looking at your stuff, looking at like what you have posted. You have the book in front of you, like, "Hey, look, check it out. I have posters out here. I know you probably, been walking for a little bit. If you want, if you don't, if not now, come back in a little bit. My book's gonna be right here." And just bargain with them, talk about stuff that they're interested in. Be like, "Hey, they were like, "Hey, I like that the Griffith poster that you did for Berserk." I'm like, "Thanks. What do you think of the series?" And just start a conversation with them there. Between the communication as well as networking is very important. Don't make the customer feel like he's just a number, because they're not. In the end, we're all fans of this stuff. We all love the stuff that we're doing, the stuff that we're selling, and same interests that we have. So if someone doesn't walk by your table and they continue to walk by, don't let it bother you. I know it's a lot, in a financial standpoint, yes, you feel like maybe I lost money in this, maybe this is not it. Maybe it's just not your day. Maybe it's the traffic today was just not set for you. The traffic tomorrow, you could be coming out with $100 in the first hour. And if you need any encouragement, the people that sit next to you, those are your partners. Whether you know them or not, you communicate with them, they can lighten up your day. Like, don't sit there and just stare at your phone like, "I'm not hitting numbers, I'm not getting any sales." And don't mope about it. I mean, moping's not gonna help you. People can see that negative energy, like right off the rip. I think, like we said before we even started recording, we ran into merchant salesmen, sales that the first thing that they do when you walk up to them, they're looking at their phone. They're looking at their phone. They're not even communicating with you or even interacting with you in any type of way. And that kind of, it's off-putting. You're like, "Yeah, I like this product," but if they're giving you a weird vibe or not even like having that interaction with you, it makes you not want to buy anything. People skills are always great. Granted, not everybody is a extrovert. A lot of people are introverts. And it happens, but once you guys find a common ground, I guarantee you're gonna open up real fast. And just don't let failure be the first thing in your head. All right, even now, even when you go there, even if you went there and you lost money, the experience alone is something that you benefited from. Because even at that, you can take that as an educational meeting and find another way to make it better. That way that's you don't have to sit here and think, "Well, next convention's gonna suck," or, "I'm not gonna make enough money to put the stuff back into the system." It's fine. It happens. Right now, you're paying for education, and that's fine. We all learn something new. We all find new methods that'll benefit us. And just don't get down. And if you feel as though you're getting down, talk to your homies next to you and your left and right. Unless you're in the corner, then talk to the one on your left. They'll definitely give you something to, help you out. Even that, you can do art trades, and just make friends. Networking is great. Networking is fantastic thing to do. I went to a convention where I didn't plan on selling anything, but I networked the entire time. And next thing you know, I'm getting hit up on Instagram, Twitter, even on like Newgrounds or anything like that, to for artwork. and you're like, holy crap, I forgot about this person. They grabbed my card. Maybe they're not going to buy from you now, they'll buy from you later. But as long as you keep communicating with them and making them feel very, how do you say, comfortable. Not even just comfortable. You can make them feel like an associate and everything like that. And later on, whether you know it or not, they're probably going to end up being one of your best friends at a convention. You never know. Life always gives you something different.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. That's one thing we set off the rip. We went to our first convention. That's all we did was network. Hit up all the artist booth, hit up some people. In fact, the first guy, if you go on our YouTube channel, the first guy we interviewed was Dragon William from Dragon Creations. Dude, he was about to jump out of his seat. And he was like, dude, I want to be on a podcast. And the fact that you're telling me that two other podcasts just asked for your work, and you're like, you guys are my first show. I'm like, yes. Yes, we are. We're
Most
networking.
definitely.
We're... But no, we feel that. We that's like we're trying to network too this year, because it just yeah. So I feel you on that. Just networking and things like that. Same, I mean, we can all agree, even our full-time jobs, the more people you know, the better. And things like that.
It's an experience. It's an experience. And again, I know I said it before, but I'm thankful for the opportunity you guys are giving me to even, be podcasted. You know what I mean? Like, it's you guys didn't have to choose me or anything like that. So I'm very grateful, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Let me ask you this next question. How has being a father affected your work? So to be more clear, do you kind of, ever since your daughter was born and raising her, do you tend to do more cartoonish, kiddish stuff in your artwork? Or do you stick to more like the Dragon Ball Z styles, things like that? Or better yet, do you use your daughter's inspirations for your characters in your artwork?
So my daughter has when I'm drawing, my daughter wants to draw too. In my TikTok, like if you go down, because it's old, my daughter loves making monsters. I think I got the next Junji Ito chilling with me. My daughter's gonna be a horror comic, maybe. I don't know. I hope so. I think it'd be really dope. I love horror. But she loves making monsters. That's her number one thing. She loves to create and draw monsters. So I did a video where I let her, because I have a big tablet, human tablet, it's right here actually. It's like that big. I let her draw on there, and I was like, wait, baby, go ahead and make something. So she'll make something, and she's like, look, Dad. And it'll be, I mean, if a psychologist walked by and saw it, there'll probably be a little concern, but I would go ahead and I'm like, okay, maybe I can clean that up for you. So yeah, if anything, definitely look at the videos. They're funny. Because she's holding the pen smiling. So she's definitely had that creation started already, and I can't wait for it. But I try with her being around, I try to make stuff that are not like gruesome or a little bit too explicit, at least around her eyes, at least now. Maybe when she gets older, she'll get it. But with her, as of right now, she's been a big fan of Pokemon. She's been a big fan. I'm not sprinkling out of there, I promise you. She's
No,
been a big
dang
fan
it,
of
he fell from
Pokemon.
a trap.
Big fan of Pokemon. She's been a big fan of she's still learning like some stuff, like so she's still getting like some things down. Adventure Time, that's another thing that she likes. I'm a big fan of Adventure Time, so when she's like, Daddy, look, Jake, I'm like, oh man, now I really want to draw Jake. Or even Simon Petrikov from Adventure Time. I love that guy. But she's definitely influenced my range. When she says that she wants to watch TV, she puts something on. I'm probably sitting there watching it with her, and I'm like, okay, cool. I want to draw this. I want to print. I want to make a print of this so that way I can sell it. We sat there and watched the first season of Naruto together. She had no idea what was going on. All she knows is, hey, who's the guy with the orange jacket? I like that, Daddy. Can I have her hair? Well, have her hair done. Have her hair done like that. Weird
Okay.
purpose that. Let me have her
No,
do
I
her
knew
hair
what you
done like
meant.
that. Can I have pink hair,
Oh
Dad?
no, I know exactly what you're
Yeah, we
talking
knew what
about.
you
Because
meant. Just
I took my
right.
nephew to get his hair cut. He's like, I want it cut like Luffy or Zoro. I was like, those are two drastically different ones. How about this? And he's like, Yes. And I'm like, okay.
Right. So my daughter, she gets influenced by stuff that she sees, but because she sees it and she brings it up to me like a lot, I'm like influenced too, because now it's running through my mind like maybe I should do something like that because I know my daughter will love it, you know? And granted, if anybody else will love it too, my number one fan's right next to me all the time. So that's more or less how I look at it.
Okay. I will say, growing up drawing, I actually drew a lot of monsters too, because I was always looking for, I was drawing comics, so I would do like Monster of the Week sort of when I was making comics. So I would like make this giant monster. So I don't think technically you have much to worry about, but yeah.
Oh
Like I said,
man.
bro, some of the stuff she comes up with, I'm like, baby, like I don't know what shows you've been watching without me.
Yeah.
Like I'm a little concerned. Why does that monster have stitches on its lips? Like I don't, maybe that's what I'm saying. So like if you look inside one of the videos, like you'll see that there's like stitches on like this weird raisin looking monster thing that she made, and all I did was just clean up the lines for her.
We got another D&D question. What is your favorite D&D class and race?
Wild magic sorcerer, hands down, because I don't like to gamble, but I love the gamble of the game. For those who don't know, wild magic sorcerers, if you're casting at any spell at level one or higher, this is me getting real nerdy.
Oh, you're fine. You're in good
you
company.
You're
get
fine.
a you roll for a wild magic surge. Now, the wild magic surge has a D100. There's a hundred, well, technically about 10 options depending on how you roll. Or no, I might be mathing that wrong, but there's options on what rolls if you roll a nat one on the wild magic surge. So you have to roll, see what you get, and roll with the punches. D&D is actually like it's the main reason why I got this like neck tattoo. I like to imagine wild magic sorcerers like this being like an organic or arcana thing, where it's like vines of magic that kind of like take over, and you just gotta roll with the punches, which is why I got this. No matter what happens, keep going forward with it. You got it. Race wise, I know it's gonna be odd. I love firbolgs a lot. They're
As a
weird,
non-D&D
but
guy, I don't know.
I love fur. So firbolgs are more like the nature people. They're
Yeah,
like
they're like a
furry
race
nature
of
people.
giant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So an interesting thing, the last character I played in D&D, it was a his name was Dr. Yelpter Kelpter. He was a druid, and his big thing was that he was always anxious. And so any interaction what he went into, he was very shaky and nervous and never had confidence. And I was like, I've got anxiety. Let's have fun with it. And I did that with like two characters, so I've been having fun with it. Because the one before that, I have ADHD, so I was like, I'm gonna make this the most ADHD coded character ever. And then this one, I said, let's have fun with this and have like the most anxious character ever. And he's like this big hulking guy with this staff, and he's so nervous of everything.
That's great. I love that. Yeah, but me, my firbolg that I've, because he's a backup character for our next campaign, his name is Silas Peddlewheat. He's a botanist as well as someone that works with caretaking for the dead. He's so nature like. He doesn't really care about what's going on like in the city. He's like, I only moved out here because I got married, and this is what it is. Now I'm away from where I can just go grab some stuff to make sure that when I cut the people open, I can make the whole store not smell bad, kind of thing. Real old dude, but he is very how do you say? Like if there's something there, his main thing when he casts Cure Wounds, he needs robes from a cleric. He believes that, okay, you believe you're holy? Cool. Let me get a piece of your robe so I can make sure that we're both holy. Like that kind of thing. Like he's gonna
Superstitious
have
in a
such
way.
a yeah, he's gonna have a he's very what's the word? Resourceful. I already know my brother, me and him are gonna clash back and forth with our characters, but That's
I feel
no
like
here nor there. I didn't
that's
even
fun
start
sometimes
again.
though,
Right.
because we had the most, because in this campaign, we were with it was a fish person who was basically like prim and proper and was like a germphobe, and then you had a half dragon who was just horny all the time.
Right.
And so we have the horny bard, a druid with severe crippling anxiety,
Got
and a fish person that's terrified of dirt. And we're like, this can't not go wrong. This is the perfect thing. And we just had fun with it.
That's really dope. That's really dope. Like I said, D&D is fun. D&D is, if you haven't tried it, definitely give it a shot. It's your imagination is literally your only limit. And
Oh,
then
yeah.
whatever the DM says, hey, you can't do that. You're like, okay, then let me find out another way to do it.
Yeah, Devin, we should do that at some point on the podcast.
Lord, I'm going to the store. I'm a dad with a knife or a sword or whatever. I'm going to the milk store. You guys fight the dragon. I'll go get the milk for the house.
I actually have a recommendation for that, Devin.
Oh no.
It's called Dungeons and Daddies. It's a podcast
Oh, no, I've heard
about,
of them.
yeah.
I've heard of them. They're really cool.
Oh yeah, they're really hilarious, and I'll be listening to them at work, and I'll just be walking around, and all of a sudden I'll be like, if anybody could hear what's in my headphones right now, I would get some weird looks.
Oh
Right,
man.
Devin.
All right, let me ask you this. What is
Okay.
your favorite series to draw art from?
Oh man, as of right now, because I think I go into like a. I guess same thing what you had said before, Kyle, is like a binge. Some series just grab hold of me. Right now, Jujutsu Kaisen is as of right now probably one of my most consistent. When it comes to art, for some reason, I always end up getting going right back into Jujutsu Kaisen. Or even My Hero, because that's another series. They have great characters. Granted, their character designs are fantastic. So the artist, he goes great with that stuff. But Jujutsu Kaisen is probably my number one as of right now. I've done Mahito. I've done Sakuna. I've done Naname. Toji? Toji?
You talking about Tanjiro from Demon Slayer?
No. But I've done Demon
Oh.
Slayer too. As a matter of fact, I actually just got done doing a commission recently for Demon Slayer, and I love Demon Slayer.
Nice.
Don't get me wrong. It was for a friend of mine, Serge. I actually have it right here, if you guys don't mind. I can show it to you
Yeah,
real
go for
quick.
it.
Yeah, go for it.
So it's for my boy Sergio. Shout out to Sergio. Thank you so much for everything. But like, he wanted a him and his family,
Oh, that's sick.
and then he also wanted them in color.
I'll be honest with you, I like me personally, I like the black and white one.
I like the black and white too. I really do. I haven't been grabbing grayscale like that. But that was probably like what's been starting it recently, which is probably why my prompt is in grayscale rather than in color. But yeah, Jujutsu Kaisen, My Hero Academia, have really had gotten a nice grab hold on me as of recently. Again, because I love their character designs. Everyone's so cool, like their power. And I just like making them dynamic, like just making them just look like they're serious and whatnot. Like even the Kirishima, somebody's like, "Yo, bro, you drew him like if he was a villain." I'm like, "No, it's just a situation. He's just there's an explosion behind him. He looks kind of cool."
This is kind of in the similar fashion, but going off of your Mario one, which I think was in the first segment, Devin.
It was.
What game has affected your art most?
Gaming wise, ooh. So I'm a big. So when it comes to like artwork and gaming, I have done only a few games. Like Donkey Kong, Breath of the Wild. But the games that I haven't like really gotten in touch with when it comes to artwork, as of right now, I've been really wanting to do something for Shinigami Tensei. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that series.
I'm
Very
not.
hard series, very hard series. The creatures in there look so cool. I know, I like things more or less like serious wise. Like I used to try doing Overwatch stuff when I was playing like really heavy in Overwatch. I'm a Zenyatta main. I was actually number four in Jersey for quite some time when the game first came out. Zenyatta was probably like one of the main things, but when it got a hold of me, I was like, okay, I gotta do this character. I love this character so much. But at the same time, not everybody else likes that character. So if I got a print of it, I'm like, maybe I just made this print for me. That's kind of the thing. But gaming wise, heavy dark scenario games. I don't know. I really like dark stories, gruesome stories kind of thing, but obviously I don't portray that in any sense. I'm like completely opposite of that. I got
Oh
the
no,
yeah, like I
I.
said, I got the Junji Ito thing going on. Like I like the horror, I love it, everything about it. I'm a very happy person. Like it's kind of like
Oh
the
no.
difference there.
I know exactly what you mean. So my first anime that I watched was Elf and Lied, and then the
That's a
second
good one.
was Hero, I forget the name, but it's When They Cry, and which is like a really bloody, they're very bloody anime. And so when I tell people that, they're like, "You," and I'm like this little nerdy guy, and I'm like, "Yeah."
It's great.
Oh yeah.
It's great. I love it. The blood
Oh yeah.
everywhere. I just
And I'm like, got out of my comfort zone and I try something new. And they actually do have some pretty good ones. One that I recommended to Devin was Future Diary, which is pretty bloody.
Dude, Future
And
Diary was so good.
that's a good
Yeah,
one. That
it's
is a
really
really
good.
good one.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, Dev, if you've seen Erased.
I
I've heard
heard
of
it'll
it.
make you cry. I've
It will.
Angel Beats will make you cry.
It will.
I don't want to
Yeah,
cry.
I
I know.
suggested Angel Beats to him, and I was like, just make sure you have tissues nearby. And he's like, is it
That's
one of
another
those
good one.
like adult ones? And I was like, no, Devin, not that type of tissues. And he
So,
watched it, and he was like, why would you do this to me? I'm so sad now.
another sad one is Clannad.
I
Now
heard that.
that one hit me just because I'm a dad. So it was just it had me in tears all the way into the end. Love that show. Love that show though. I always recommend it.
You
Oh
know
yeah,
which one put me in tears? Oh. Which
you're
one put
good.
me in tears? This is gonna sound weird, but this one, the finale, put me in tears, and that was Classroom Assassination or Assassin
Don't
Classroom.
tell
You know
me
what I'm
anything.
talking about?
I've seen it. I've seen it. It's really good. It made me
Don't tell
cry.
me anything. I am like halfway through that series and I got distracted. So give me time and I'll be there. I'll
Another series I
cry.
could recommend too is Cyberpunk. The anime that they had put out, bro, had me weeping. At the end, it just had me weeping. It had no reason to do that to me.
I knew it was a game, and then I heard somewhere that it was a anime as well, and I was like, no, huh, I may have to check it out. And I found it, and I was like, I'm gonna put this on the back burner for later when I finish the ones I keep forgetting to. Oh yeah, but I really like One Piece because it does that. It will draw you in, and then it will get you emotionally attached and develop the story from there. And that's one reason I like a lot of these thriller animes because it will draw you in and give you an emotional reaction, whether it's fear, sadness, or something. That's what I really, really bond with.
Yeah, no, it's that I agree with that 100%. One Piece is it's good. It's Gota. He has great writing.
Not so much character design, but great writing.
Character design's wonky, but you know what? After like reading it for so long, you're kind of like, okay, I kind of think they look cool now.
Oh
I
yeah.
see why they look like that now.
What was I doing? I read the manga for a while, and I was like, oh yeah. And then I took a break from it and watched some other animes, and I went back to it, and I was like, oh yeah. This startled me for a second, but now I'm back in it, and oh yeah.
No, it's so
But
good, man.
oh yeah,
Between
the
that one, I
story.
think. No, go ahead, go ahead.
I was gonna say the story definitely carries it. I think that's a good.
The for One Piece? Oh yeah. 100%. Definitely does. Like everyone has their own specific thing, but it still draws you in, regardless. Like even Chopper, Franky, Usopp, Nami. Like they all had such a solid backstory and introduction that you're kinda like, I can't get away from it. Like I like it a lot.
Have you seen the One Piece, how they're talking about the new studio is gonna redesign it?
Yes, where they're gonna do a whole like the first season and everything like that. Yeah, I can't wait for it. Like I'm expecting it to look great. Like as because the way it's been popping off right now, even with the latest episodes, it's been crazy. The first
It's
introduction for
pretty
Gear
solid.
5, yeah, first introduction to Gear 5, that was like a movie sequence for me. Like I was like, man, this is a whole movie itself.
Oh yeah, I before anime convention, it was like a week before, after I read it, and I was like, I don't need to watch this. I can feel how this would play out on the screen, and I'm here for it.
Right. And you know what?
And
I
then.
gave it to because when it finally did pop on the screen, the whole sequence with the drummer liberation, where he's like the colors are just flashing. They got a real famous like animator to do that, and he just did that small piece, and I'm like, that was it. That's exactly all I needed for this episode.
I watched a clip later and I was like, it's as good as I thought it was going to be. And
100%. I agree.
And then I'm just imagining how Gear 2 would be animated because it would look so good. And I've seen some like artist renditions of what it could look like in a newer style, of more like Dragon Ball style. And I was like, that's pretty solid there too. I don't think you
Yeah.
can go wrong with One Piece.
Now, One Piece is so, like, how do you say it? It's very
Solid.
solid, yeah, solid in all like all scapes. Like again, you just gotta get past like the character designs because it's always gonna look weird. And again, I respect Oda for doing that because not all of us look the same, and it'd be kind of confusing having the same person fighting the same person. I love it though. Oda is a fantastic writer and artist.
Devin, where are we? Are you ready
Yep,
for your
I know
next
where we're at.
question? Okay.
I feel like we've already kind of hit this, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Being since you've been a father, what anime or games would you be sharing with your daughter? I know you kind of already said that.
Cuphead is number one.
Okay.
Because I love Cuphead. She enjoys Cuphead. Super Mario. As of recently, she's been playing Mario 64. And recently, she's been playing Mario Kart. Mind you, my kid's four. So she's loving every second of it. Mario Kart, she's doing like the 50 CC circuit, coming in like second to third place. She's mad hype, which is amazing because even when I was younger, like I remembered when I was that hype, just playing that game. She started playing Mario Party. How she's getting wins, I don't know. But she's doing it, so I'm not gonna even challenge it. Because even now, it takes me forever to go ahead and try to get a W going off the computers. But granted, she's on easy mode. I'm fighting computers that aren't hard, but still.
Devin knows about that.
Right.
He's
Mario
got
Party
some
can destroy
long.
friendships fast.
He's got some long-standing beef with Wario.
I do.
Wario.
Dude.
Wario on Smash Bros. For the Switch. I hate that guy. I hate him
You
for
were
that.
also having problems in Mario Party, though, because we were at the
Dude.
gatehouse playing it one day during the pandemic, and nobody's coming to the game. So we're playing it, and Devin's getting so mad that he's having to take a lap around the gatehouse. And I'm like, dude, it's just a game. And our friend Tommy is like, ha ha! Wario got him again.
I'm a
I
big
hate Wario.
what is it? In Smash Bros. I'm a big I'm a Pac-Man main.
Oh, I love Pac-Man.
I love Pac-Man. That's my boy. I main him. Not a lot of, it's crazy. Not a lot of people touch him, and I love that.
I grew up playing a lot of Pac-Man on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Pac-Man was my boy. I played him heavy in Smash Bros. And I think, like my daughter watches me play, and she has no idea who's like really in there except for like Peach, Mario, Luigi. Obviously, the one she's familiar with. But as of recently, she's been getting into Yoshi's Island Adventure. And it's not even the one that we know as like the NES version. It's the N64 version they had came out with. She's been having a ball with that one, but I haven't had her touch anything that involves like. I'm trying to get her to stop saying the word killing. That's the one thing. I'm trying to have her stop saying the word killing. I'm like, oh, you defeated him. And she's
Yeah,
like,
I
yeah,
understand that.
I killed him.
But
I'm like, no, baby, you don't say that with that much excitement. Yeah, I defeated him.
Oh yeah, as somebody who's got a 10-year-old nephew going into middle school, I understand that. I was hesitant about him getting into One Piece because of that. And Luffy's really good about it. There's still other characters. You don't really see characters die on screen unless it's like a flashback. Dragon Ball was a really good one because Goku will run through an entire series of things and not kill anybody, but he'll like wreck everybody. He'll give like Piccolo or Cell a Senzu Bean and be like, this is for so we can fight next time. And I was really adamant about getting him that because while it is like an action thing, it promoted good sportsmanship and not just utter demise, which I thought was a good book.
No, I get that, and it's something that I've been trying to lead my kid like towards, like to understand, like, maybe when we get older, we can get around to like that type of scenario. Like, she's aware that that's life. Like that there comes a time where that's going to happen,
Oh yeah.
but like I want to have her come to that on her own terms and not something that's like being pushed out in media kind of thing.
Yeah. He wants to get into Naruto, and I'm very hesitant about it because a lot of the manga is much more violent and more bloody, and so I'm very hesitant because I'll get him like three manga issues that I've already finished, and then he'll go take him to school, and then he'll be like, "Can you believe what Sasuke did here, or Piccolo, or so and so?" And we'll talk about it, and like we'll talk about real life physics and stuff like that in the world, and like, how it works, how it may play out. We'll have like a good time just nerding out. It's a good way to connect with my nephew. But I'm very hesitant about giving him My Hero Academia because it gets much more body horror towards the end and Naruto. I've been on the fence about that.
Nah, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Like, there's some stuff that I'm like limiting myself to introduce. But like the stuff that I'm trying to find a little bit more obviously family friendly in a sense for her to not get into the maturity as of yet. Maybe once she starts getting older, I can introduce her into like games where they'll bring up more concepts, but they also have like a life lesson with it. Rather than just going ahead and just be like introducing her to like, hey, like Pokemon itself, she enjoys playing Pokemon. She's playing Shining Pearl, has no idea what she's doing, but she's playing it like it's nothing. But like for example, even from there, I'll probably introduce her to Banjo Kazooie. Once she gets a little older, because that one is a little bit more complicated with the buttons, or even, having her play Smash Bros. Herself to understand like how stuff like that, fighting games or anything like that. She's a smart kid, a real smart kid. She adapts like very fast, but I don't want her to adapt too fast to where it's like now I'm having a conversation about insurance with my kid and she's nine. Yeah, you know what I mean? So.
Oh yeah, my nephew is really smart, and I've kind of dug myself in the hole there because I'll talk about like physics and stuff like that and science and how it affects the real world and stuff like that, and he's 10 now, and he'll like apply that to TV shows, and he's like, this doesn't make sense scientifically, And then he'll go like through the reasons, and I'm like, I've created this monster, and
Right.
I'm the only one that can combat with this. And he's like, and I'm like, yes, you're right. The physics would not work here and here. But that doesn't mean it can't be entertained. He goes, very true, and just wanders off. And I don't know if I won or lost. I guess we made an agreement.
Right. It's more or less, I don't want to suck the joy of life away from her when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I want her to be like, still have that wonder, that sense of like, how does that happen? Or
Oh, yeah.
like, trying to figure it out on her own way. I don't want her to feel like she's being. She I don't want her to be too smart to where she like takes the joy
Yeah.
out of the small things out of herself.
Got two more questions.
Okay.
So you've done some conventions, and you've done a Shippuden, a One Piece, and a Demon Slayer cosplay, correct? Any other characters that you would like to cosplay?
I definitely done Sanji. That was a fun one. Right now, I'm in the works of doing Ice King, but Simon Petrikov version. Another one that I would love to do is probably from Cyberpunk. David Martinez, the main character, the boy with the yellow jacket. And then another one that I would love to do. I don't have the like. I want to work on getting the body for it, like the physique. The Toji one, I think that would be really dope. Yes, I mean that's kind of like the main ones that I have so far. Like I've done Luigi, but that's something you can buy from like Party City and pop
Oh,
that
yeah.
on and just walk around. But yeah, as of right now, those are probably like my main ones. I know one of my boys recommended me to try to do Marco. And I'm like, yeah, Meryl, but Marco kind of like has all this shaved off and he has a
Oh,
pom
yeah.
pom on the top of his head. So I
Pineapple.
can't really I can't really do that and still go
Yeah.
to work.
Oh, yeah.
I would have to take a month off just so my hair can grow back. Yeah, I mean those are like one of my main ones that I really want to do. So Simon's probably my most recent one that I've been like I can definitely do that. I got grays that are already coming in, so I don't have nothing to do or worry
I
about my
know.
hair wise.
I understand that. I've got like swoops of white, and then I've been hanging out with my girlfriend. She goes, man, that's a lot of white hair. And I was like, stop pointing it out.
Look, sadly for my family, like grays show fast. I started getting grays when I was like 14.
Oh, yeah, that's around the time I started getting mine, and I was like, well, this is just part of life now.
It's either a mix of stress or it's just in my bloodline. We get our grays fast, but luckily they're not as fast popping up as they are just showing. Like they're not protruding out my head. Otherwise, I'd be a gray top right now. So
You
they'd
have to
definitely be going like
be
real slow.
fairly close to see it, but I've got a lot of them, and I'm like, I don't know how people don't see this because I know it's there, so I'm like subconscious about it. I'm like, there's so much of it.
No, it's a thing. What about you, Dev? You got any grades, my boy?
Bro, I'm just balding, dude. Like, coaching has made me gain so much weight and balding. I'm just like, yeah, I'm bald. It's okay. I'm just balding. That's like, honestly, Kyle will tell you, if I grow my hair out, I can pull off a mullet, but it just sets the point. I just cut it, and I'm
Listen,
honest with
you're.
my hair, huh?
I was about to say, you're not as bad as it with me and a mullet, because mine just goes straight down. Yours will curl up and
Mine,
like
dude.
kind of look better, but mine just goes straight down the back, and then it'll have like two little bits that curl at the end. Like I'm a One Piece
You got the two
character.
little swoops, the hook swoops.
That's
Oh
like
yeah.
this morning when I woke up before we started recording the first time. I just had like this giant like whew. I'm like, ah, bro, I'm throwing a hat on. Just throwing a hat on today. F it.
Hey, when I get bed head, it sticks up like this, and then yeah, I'll look like Wolverine, and I'll get it down. You'll always have like one little one. I'll have that alfalfa sticking up, and then my boss and my coworker will look at each other, and it's like it's alfalfa day. My girlfriend will be like, Oh no, you've got the alfalfa going on. Oh my, dang it.
Oh, bro, I used to have the alfalfa too all the time. My brothers, so I have four brothers, including me. There's five of us. I have four brothers. So when we were growing up, we'd always get the alfalfa horn. So that I'd get the most, dude, getting called alfalfa every other minute. So, dude, it's annoying. But
Yeah,
I
my hair used
also
to. I have a wicked
go
cow lick that populates like back here.
ahead. Yeah, like right here.
Yeah, like in the
Yeah.
center.
Yeah, so luckily for me, I just let my hair grow out. I can't do that no more. Like my hair
I
was like a
just
lot shorter. It was definitely a lot noticeable, but after you grow it out, kind of like the weight of it just kind of just sags down now.
The only problem with that is because I've got so many that I'll have like them pop up here, I'll have one pop up here, and then I'll get like this Superman curl every once in a while. We've got this one picture. We went to a church with a friend, and it's really bad lighting. It's really dim, and all you can see is just my hair is like greased. It looks like it's greased down. It's just one Superman curl like this. And my family likes messing with me about it. They're like, "So Clark,
You
how
got
was church?"
the Clark Kent going.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So last question. Okay. So obviously you talked a lot of bunch. You talked about a lot of characters that you love doing. Are there any characters you hate doing artwork for? Like if somebody asked you to do an art drawing of this anime character, you just hate it. Like, no.
Or
Oh
you've done
man.
it so much that you're just sick of it.
Yeah, are you just sick of it?
Okay, so I wouldn't say man, I don't know, how do I word this? Okay, so I wouldn't say there's a character that I hate or anything like that. I know there was a character series that I did a lot before. And it was commission wise. It was more or less at the convention. They'd be like, "Hey, can I get this character?" So, and it's an ongoing joke with my brother. Apparently I'm the Tokyo Ghoul guy. When it comes to any convention, so if there's a commission for Tokyo Ghoul, my brother be like, "Oh yeah, well he can do Kaneki and all that." And I'm like, "Oh, you son of a bitch!" Like I'll sit there and I'm like, "Okay, cool." I don't get me wrong, I like Tokyo Ghoul. I do. I love Kaneki. I love the characters in there. But after drawing Kaneki 7 times, like I'm kind of like burned out on Kaneki. Like I'm like, all right, look, man, I can give you Kaneki. Like I got no problem with it. I love the character. Like, how do you want Kaneki? Oh, I just want Kaneki. I'm like, well, I mean, I have a poster of Kaneki already made. Like, if you just want Kaneki, it's only $10. Just hook me up and I'll give it to you. I don't have to draw it. No, I want a commission sketch with a marker and ink. And I'm like, you do realize you're paying more for that than you are just getting a poster. I think, yeah, as of right now, Kaneki's probably like number, he's commission wise, I've drawn him like a good 7 times. Now, granted, again, I don't mind drawing Kaneki. I think if I was to go to another convention, they're like, "Hey, yo, Kaneki," I'm like, "Hey, yo, I got a poster. Let's go on. You want a bargain? We can bargain. Look, I'll cut the price in half. just take it, please."
That actually brings us to our next question. We would like two commission Kanekis.
No, we don't. Do not make this man rage quit.
He rage quits from this phone call. No, I'm kidding. I promise I'm kidding. If you can
Kaneki,
laugh,
bro,
it's
I
a
got
good day.
posters, bro. I'll send you the posters,
I'll send you
bro.
the posters.
Well, I'll pay for the shipping too. You ain't even gotta worry about that. It'll be so good. It'll be so
Oh, I can't breathe. That was a good one, Kyle. That was a good one.
No
Hanging up the
problem.
phone,
If
man.
you can
Good
laugh, it's
fucking.
a good day.
I can say they'll be so good. They'll be packaged so nice. No.
Oh.
But
All right,
yeah,
Devin.
I would say when it came to those, I think Kaneki, I think I've like not gotten maxed out when it comes to drawing Kaneki because he's a cool character. His entire like setup is dope. It's just like I said before, when you get when you draw somebody so much that you become that guy and you're only seen as that guy or that kind of artist, it's kind of difficult to get out of it.
I know sometimes you can get, I would get when I was drawing that I'd get locked into the same art style, like that cartoon art style. And I would get locked into it to the point where I almost couldn't draw anything else. And it just all kept ending up looking like that. So I had to like work myself out of a box of it at one point. So I was like, I want to try to get more away from that because I've been doing it so much.
No, yeah, it feels like you're putting yourself in a box and you don't mean to. Like it's more or less like it's better to be the jack of all trades than a master of one, 'cause you'll get called upon a lot more.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it. That's what I've got, Kyle. I think that pretty much should end the show. You've answered all our questions. Zen, is there any last words you want to say before we do our outro?
Thank you guys so much. Again, for giving me this opportunity to be on the podcast, my first official on-face podcast.
That's right, baby. Forget the other two guys. They missed out on opportunity. We're the first.
What happened to your voice there?
I'd be
Dude, I don't
definitely
know.
a
Probably
lot happy to come back and do more with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. So if yeah, anytime you guys are like, hey, Zen, it's been a while, you want to come back in? I'm like, yeah, most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a shout out to Black Thanos for shouting me out to you guys, for you guys to hit me up. Their community, Black Thanos' community is great. The Misfit Dueltainers have been very good to me as well as the Crusaders, the Kroman Empires, the communities I got to be able to be a part of. I mean, thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be not only just as a friend, but as a fellow artist to you guys. The love is really there, and when you support me, you support my kid. In a long sense of run, I'm not even worried about it being about me. It's just my child. That I want to make sure she's set, and you guys do that for me. And I appreciate every conversation, every commission, everything that you guys done. It's genuine, and I appreciate every single one of you. If you haven't, feel free to check me out on TikTok, IG. Twitter, I'm working on getting back in, so bear with me. But yeah, I want to shout out to at least I guess my brother Megaton Slater, Tina Marie, another fellow great artist. If you guys haven't checked them out, definitely do. Definitely keep checking out these podcasts because these guys are great. They're hilarious. Even off recording, they had me cracking up.
Nah, man, we're cringy. Oh, we ain't comedians. We're just cringe, man. Pure cringe.
Nah,
We're funny.
you're funny. You're funny. I appreciate it. You ain't tricked me. I promise you guys have been great. Like that's my genuine opinion. No, but again, yeah, thank you guys. It's been really great. Feel free to hit me up whenever, whether
Oh, yeah.
even if it's for a podcast or even it's just a vent. My ears are always open.
Oh yeah,
All right,
we
man.
will definitely probably try to get in contact with you again if we do the D&D thing. So I think that'd be
Oh no,
actually
I'll be
really
up. Yeah,
fun.
I'm 100%. Yeah, I love D&D, man. It's so fun. And drawing the characters too makes it even funner. Like I love it.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, that being said, hey, if you guys heard, like you said, follow Zen on all his social media. It'll be in the description box below. Check me out on my podcast, the More Sports Podcast, where such a typical sports podcast. We have a little bit of fun over there, so check that out in the playlist. Check out Kyle's the show, The Random Hour, which not only is this on YouTube, but then your episode will be on The Random Hour, to be determined. I'll let you know whenever I get it up and running. And of
Yeah,
course, we
100%.
got popcorn, and then we also
We're
have
aiming for
popcorn
March,
buckets.
though.
Yeah, we're aiming for March,
Yeah.
but don't worry,
Okay.
I'll definitely let you know once I get it up and running. But hey, check out Popcorn Buckets. That comes out every Sunday. It's just a tangent. And of course, you can follow us on social media on Twitter at Rando Corporate One and on Instagram as Bucket Boys 2023. Until next time, guys, you guys have a wonderful day.
All right, definitely.